When I started asking the question, are you in control, God? I realized that it's a complicated answer. Yes, he's sovereign. How can he be so sovereign and I feel so stuck? How can he be so sovereign and some suffer so much? How can he be so sovereign and some struggle so long? Of course, I'm not confident enough in my professional competence to answer that. That's why we're going to Paul in just a moment. But realize that God, maybe I could give it to you this way. Here's the first thing you could write down. God is always in control, but he doesn't always take control. God is always in control, but he doesn't always take control. It's like when I gained 50 pounds in the first 18 months of being married, God never took any macaroni off my plate. He let me eat as much macaroni as I wanted to eat. And I was thinking about eating, and I've said it a few times now because I'm a little hungry as I preach, to be honest with you. But the real reason I thought of it was portion control, right? Like, God's not going to control the portion of food that you eat. Or the portion of news that you consume. Are you ready? He's not going to control the portion of the Bible that you read. God will let you watch as many episodes, what's that show, Outer Banks? He'll let you watch, is that the right show? He'll let you watch every episode and not read your Bible one time. God will let you watch. God will let you scroll Instagram until you throw up pictures of somebody else's vacation. He won't stop you. He's in control. That doesn't stop you from scrolling. Even Instagram, I remember the first time, God, I felt so pathetic when Instagram told me you're all caught up. I was like, Facebook is trying to save me. They legally have to tell me you've seen this crap already. So God doesn't stop you from scrolling. God will not. So God is always in control. And I'm grateful. But he doesn't always take control. Isn't that what we really want? Is like a remote control God who we can tell him what to do with other people. And from his holy heaven, he will make everybody do everything we want to do. He is not a remote control God. He is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us so that his Spirit could live within us. And maybe I could illustrate it this way. For everybody who is confused, uncertain, like Paul was in prison, I came out earlier and I said, let's show them with the cameras to set up this idea of are you in control? Like in the room right now, there are, I think, 8 cameras, maybe more. I don't know how many hidden cameras there are, security cameras, but I think there's 8. So that this message can be brought to you in high definition, high fidelity, the Word of God and all of its clarity, right? But let's say like the way it works, like there's different cameras that I look at, and the way it works is like here's camera 1, and I think that's Bowser on camera 1. Yeah, hey Bowser. He's taking a break from throwing hammers at Mario for a minute and running the camera. Jay Bowser, everybody. That's called camera 1. And I don't know if they call it camera 1 because he's the most important one. But it's right there. And if I put a scripture up, I can see it. And it's great. Okay, so that's camera 1. All right. And then over here on this camera, it's camera 4 or 5 or something like that. Doesn't matter. The point is, who's running this one today? Abraham. Okay. Abraham. And Abraham is over here. And if I go to this camera, right, you can see me now. I'm looking at the camera. And this is the way God gave it to me, like a picture, just to make it simple for what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. If Abraham's camera goes out of focus, go ahead and make it blurry real quick. Because sometimes this happens as I'm moving around and everything like that, and they have to focus the camera, right? Okay. And so you can't see me real good, and that's distracting, and you're like, oh, God, that looks horrible. I was tithing to elevation, but now I'm going to give it somewhere else. I don't even the money and the equipment. So then I'm like, Bowser, and I'm looking at the camera, but nothing changed. What you have to understand is He's behind the camera, but he's not controlling the camera. Furthermore, let me come back over here where it's blurry. See how you can't really see it, like how your life feels right now, how your plans feel right now, how your future feels right now, how the outcome of certain things in the United States of America feels right now, how what God is doing in the world feels right now. This has felt for a little while. And so Bowser is on camera one, and it's like, Bowser, come on, man, do your job. I'm looking at that camera. Give me that camera. But he can't control that camera. That camera is controlled in another room. The name of the room is the control room. In the control room is somebody named Chelsea. Chelsea has a headset, and Bowser does not have the capability to switch to that camera without Chelsea saying the following words, take it. When Chelsea says, take it, there it is in focus. Now, he's on the camera, but he doesn't control the camera. So if I'm over here, make it blurry again. Make it real blurry, Abraham. Make it real blurry. And it's blurry. And I look over here. Come on, Bowser, do your job. Come on, Bowser, what's wrong with you? Come on, Bowser, are you distracted? Come on, Bowser, just sleep in today. Forget to show up for run. Come on, Bowser, let's go, let's go. I can yell at him all I want, but he's not controlling the camera until Chelsea says, watch this, take it. Now God says, you can stay in a state of confusion, make it blurry, Abraham, all you want, and you can complain about me all you want, but God says, God can give you a promise, but until you take it, God can give you peace, but you will feel unclear until you take it. And I hear the Spirit of God saying today, I have given you redemption, restoration, and purpose. But you gotta take it. Are you in control? So there are three questions in Philippians 1 that I think will help us with our focus. For me, in the last 6 months, focus has been a matter of survival. For the first week of the global pandemic, I had news stations on all around. I had to turn them off because I realized that if I kept watching their news, I wouldn't be able to preach good news, the gospel. And I found out why they call it breaking news, because it will break your brain. So Paul is going to talk to us today in a situation where it seems like God is maybe not in control. Are you in control, God? Because here I am imprisoned, and here you are sovereign, and here I am stuck. So this really helped me. All right, y'all pray for me. I can read the whole thing with no interruptions. How many believe that God will give me the willpower to read all 14 verses and not stop and interrupt? Y'all don't believe. I'm going to prove you wrong. Okay, how many of y'all on the chat believe in me? Say, I believe in you, Pastor. I don't care about these other people. Fire them all. Fire your staff. We believe in you. Believe in Steve. Here we go. Philippians 1:12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, he's not, okay. Just one. He's not focused on the resistance. He's focused on the results. It has become clear. Abraham, it has become, take it, clear. It has become clear. Situation is uncertain, but my purpose has become clear. Throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord. And dare all the more to proclaim the gospel, the good news, without fear. It is true, somebody say facts, that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, and I've already given you the first question, there are three. I've already given you the first one. See if you can find all three. Two of them are right there in the text, and one is implied. He said, what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. I'll rejoice in my bathrobe, watching church in my living room. I will continue to rejoice. I will rejoice without a job, cut back on hours. I will rejoice even as I wake up in the middle of the night, in the middle of a full-blown panic attack. I will praise my way back to sleep. I will breathe my way into peace. I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. Torn between the two. Kind of want to get out of here. It's crazy. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain. And I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. Isn't it funny that he calls it progress while he's in prison? He must be measuring something. He must be asking a different question. And he does not give them any of the answers that they would have asked for. Because I'm going to tell you what they wanted to know. When are you getting out? The church at Philippi is like, your kid's in the car. All they want to know is, are we there yet? How many think that's the second most annoying question that your kids ask? You're like, well, what's the first? For me, do we have to? Do I have to? I feel the spirit of slap your tongue out of your mouth coming. Do I have to unload the dishwasher? Okay, no, you don't have to. I will rip the dishwasher out, throw it in the yard, you can wash it all by hand, and then after that, your mom will cook for me and you will watch. So you don't have to. I used to hate it when staff members would say, do we have to come? Do we have to come to Saturday night service? And you know, sometimes the Lord just has to take stuff away for a minute for you to appreciate it to get it back. And it's like, do I have to be there? It's like, oh God, can I please come? Can I please? And so that happens. That happens in our life. So the Lord was telling me that there are some really bad questions that I ask. Questions that either he doesn't want me to know. My mom used to always say, if I would have wanted you to know, I would have told you. And so the way Paul started the text, go back to verse 12 real quick. He said, now I want you to know. And then he doesn't tell them what they want to know. When are you getting out? He tells them what he wants them to know. That's like God. He tells you what he wants you to know. God controls the flow of information to our lives, and he doesn't owe us an explanation for everything. My amens are fading fast. Oh, my amens are fading fast. My amens are shutting down right now. I feel like I'm gonna have to come over here and preach this to Jenna. Now, Jenna, I specifically asked if you could be out on the stage today because I was watching you worship the other day, and I realized that you are an example of someone who never really asks for the spotlight. That blessed me. It blessed me because a lot of singers want to know, like, oh, when am I going to get to, oh, you know, when? It's a dumb question. And I realized that the better question isn't, when am I going to get credit? It's, what is God calling me to do? Now, When God does not give you an answer, how many of you are waiting for an answer from God about something in your life right now? Okay, if he won't give you the answer, ask him for a better question. You want an example of this? When Moses asked God in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, you remember he's called by God. We discussed Moses a couple weeks ago. I kind of finished my sermon talking about Moses and how if God asks you to do it, the proof that you have it in you is that he asks you to do it, because he won't ask anything from you that he didn't first put in you. And I'm just reminding you of that. But remember when Moses asked, the first thing he asked, he said, "What if they do not believe me?" Talking about the Israelites. Now let's isolate those three words. What if they? Okay, that's a bad question. Anytime your question revolves around other people, it is outside of the realm of your sovereign control. What if they? I don't care what you say next, you can't control it. What if they is a bad question. So watch what God does. He answers Moses' question with a question, but it's an upgrade. When I saw this, I shouted. You ready? Moses said, what if they, look at verse 2. The Lord said to him, "What is that?" So let's go. Moses said, "What if they?" God said, "What is that?" Moses is asking about what he can't control. He's asking about a hypothetical scenario that involves others. And God says, "What is that? What is that in your hand?" God will always point you to what is at hand. And the more your questions revolve around hypothetical situations that haven't happened and may not happen, the longer you are going to spend in the absence of an answer, which you will mistake for the absence of God. But God asks a better question. It's not what if they, what is that? When you focus on what God has given you, I love this. I spend so much time asking the question, what if they, or what if that, or what if this, or what if that? But God says, "I've already given you a that, no matter what they do." All right. So that's an example of what I'm talking about. The power of a better question. And so the proof of my progress in my relationship with God is I have less answers, better questions.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.